Now, the subject we've taken up in depth is regeneration and its evidences in the true believer. And the first thing I want to do is encourage anyone listening to a recording of this message who didn't hear this morning's message to stop, go back and listen to it. It's very important to take the two messages together and in order. As I did this morning, I also want to stress that these evidences of regeneration we're considering are sometimes much stronger, even initially, in some new believers than in others. We don't want to discourage anyone today, and yet we also want to warn people today. Have you been born again? Then these evidences should be in your life and heart. These graces are also more manifest in some older believers than younger. Well, at least they should be in an older believer, if they're a true believer. But if the imperishable seed of the gospel has taken root in your heart, then the plant will be there. Perhaps, as I said, just a small shoot at first, but it will continue to grow and it will bear good fruit. Good fruit, though not to the same degree in all Christians. Remember the parable Jesus spoke, but he that received seed into the good ground, talking about the gospel and the heart, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. We ought all to desire to bring forth fruit a hundredfold. But certainly there should be good fruit if there's true faith. Now this afternoon we're going to go on to further speak of evidences which witness of the new birth. It was right this morning to begin with the Word of God. I said it was right because the Scriptures clearly reveal, as I said and say again and declare, the Scriptures clearly reveal and declare the need of salvation, the way of salvation, the means of salvation, and the evidence of salvation, that is, faith and regeneration. The evidence of true faith and regeneration. Now we experience regeneration. We experience it. It's important to stress that. This is not something that we just intellectually accept as an opinion. We experience it, of course. We talked about this morning, but I tell you, being born again is impossible apart from the Word of God. And discerning the work of the Spirit in regeneration from a false emotional experience or a delusion of the devil is impossible apart from the Word of God. So there is experience, and that experience is proven by the Word of God. And so we'll go on this afternoon to speak much more of what the Word of God sets forth concerning the witness of the Holy Spirit with the spirit of the believer that he is a child of God, born again, born from above. Now, we're not going to review. We're just going to pick up where we left off as we consider the evidences of regeneration within the context of that simple question, are you born again? A simple question with eternal consequences. Are you born again? Well, if you are, here's another evidence that you're born again. Your new heart will be increasingly filled with a love for the Lord and your brethren in Christ, the family of God. You will begin to love God and the family of God. When I was born again, I began to love Christ, and I had never considered such a thing prior to that, although I knew that I had to or ought to love him much more. And I began to love the family of God. I began to want to be with people that, quite frankly, at one time I would have been polite to, but I would have shunned. Now, justification unto life is by faith alone, and true faith is that faith which worketh by love, Galatians 5, verse 6. The inevitable consequent of true faith is love. If faith were an engine, then love would be its fuel. The just shall live by faith. And true faith worketh by love. It's motivated by love for God and man. Now this love is shed abroad in the regenerated heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, verse 5. Chapters 5, the verse is 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The just shall live by faith, and that faith which worketh by love. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you say you're born again, then you're saying that you believe that God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be your kinsman redeemer, your substitute and surety, to be your sin bearer, taking your filthy sins upon him in order that he might be your Savior, by suffering the wrath you earned, and by shedding his lifeblood and dying in order to redeem you from sin and death and hell for liberty, life, and heaven. If you're born again, then how could you not love God? When God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're born again, you now comprehend that. How could you not love God then? How could you not love Christ, who the scriptures tell us in Revelation 1 verse 5, loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood? Those who have been born again love God. They love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No doubt it's a love that needs to grow when we're first saved and continue to grow. It should. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. This is a heartfelt, growing love in the regenerated heart. 1 John 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, true love for the Lord, then, cannot but produce a desire to please and obey him. We're justified by that faith that worketh by love. I say we are justified, and we live. The just shall live by faith, and that's how we live. That's the faith we live by, a faith that worketh by love. Jesus said, if ye love me, here's the test, keep my commandments. You can profess love with your mouth, but what about desire to obey him? John 15, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We might also interject 1 John 2, the verse 5, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't serve two masters, and you can't love two masters. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. If you're truly born again, you'll choose Christ, not the world. You won't love the world. Certainly true love for the Lord brings the true believer to honor and own him as Savior, and to serve him. The missionary John Getty said, I know that suffering awaits me, but to bear the Redeemer's yoke is an honor to one who has felt the Redeemer's love. Now those who truly love God love his people. This is a love of family. It's more than that yet. It's a spiritual love. It is a pilgrim love for the household of faith. Those who love Christ love his body, the true church, which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 John 5 is the chapter, 1 is the verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. See, it's by the scriptures that we know that we have eternal life. We're putting these things in front of you. Are you born again? What does the word of God say? What are the evidence that you're born again? 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life, everlasting life, born again. a sure title, everlasting eternal life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then 1 John 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That man or that woman that comes into the church and just causes nothing but confusion and trouble and division, distraction, that one that never changes, doesn't listen to the preaching of the word, won't suffer sound counsel, won't receive a rebuke and change, that one cannot be a lover of God or the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. If we are born again and that love of Christ has been shed abroad in our heart, then we have a concern for our brethren. We seek to edify our brethren. We want to encourage one another. We want to comfort one another in times of need and help in times of need. We want to labor together in the Lord's vineyard. Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 through 13, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We want to esteem the ministers very highly in love for their work's sake that we bring into this church, that we have fellowship with. May God give us the grace we need so that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And he goes on to say, Ephesians 3, 1, or 17, is it? 17 through 19. The Apostle Paul speaking, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, that we might comprehend with all the saints and know the love of Christ. When we know that love, then it just becomes a wellspring of love for the whole ransomed church of God. Are you born again? Does the Holy Spirit witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? Galatians 5, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That is, you're no longer under the covenant of works, and you're no longer under the condemnation and curse and dominion of sin. You're not under the curse of the law, I say, but you're under grace if ye be led of the Spirit. Where does the Spirit of the Lord lead the child of God? Where does the Spirit lead? Back to the world and all of its snares, and bondage and foolishness and corruption? No. To spiritual heavenly things. And I don't mean the things of the world dressed up in Christian garb. Where does the Spirit lead the child of God? To the Word of God, to the preaching of the Word, to the people of God, to the house of God, to the worship of God, to service for God, and always, always, always away from the things of the flesh and evil communications. Romans 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you're born again, a spiritual man indwelt by the Spirit, you have a new vital interest in the things of the Spirit, and that interest will only grow. Now, we've been considering that powerful, transforming, infallible, majestic work of God called regeneration. If you say you've been born again, the effectual work of grace we've been considering has manifested itself in your heart and in your life. And except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, for the sake of the newly born, spiritually speaking, and for all of us, I want to go on and continue speaking of the new creature in Christ and this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, the work which witnesses with the believer's spirit that he is a child of God. The regeneration of a man or a woman or a young person is accomplished by the Holy Spirit effectually applying the death and resurrection of Christ, cleansing and renewing the inner man, giving the believer a new heart, beginning a lifelong process of sanctification, which is finally perfected in glory. We talked about it this morning. We need to talk about it a little more now. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 really sums up this work of sanctification. It's a work that changes the believer more and more into the image of Christ. And the Spirit works by the doctrines of the Word. And so, but we all, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that is in the doctrines of our faith, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Peter 1, verse 12 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, sanctification involves a working of grace and holiness in the heart, which naturally results in a growing discernment of those things which are unholy and unclean and a rejection of them. Now, I will tell you, those born again will reject universalism and this vile antinomianism. The Holy Spirit will warn and provoke their spirit to recoil and despise the turning of the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The Holy Spirit will stir up their spirit against such filthy deception and rank rebellion. And I mean right from the start. Jesus said, sanctify them. He prayed for his people. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us with the word of truth. The Holy Spirit bears witness in the heart of the believer by the scriptures that those who are born again will not live in iniquity, and denying that it is iniquity while claiming to be Christians. We're talking about one aspect of sanctification here, but it's important. 1 John 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, we know that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 8. We know that, don't we? We're not sinless perfectionists. But Scripture interprets Scripture again. What that speaks of is just what I said, living in iniquity and denying it is iniquity while claiming to be a Christian. It is not possible because his seed remaineth in him. The imperishable seed of sanctifying grace and life, that seed remains in the Christian. He can't live that way. 1 John 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You can't be then a child of the devil and say you're a child of God. You can't live like the devil and say you're on your way to heaven. It's not true. It's impossible. I bring it up because of the times in which we live. Are those times not addressed? Gay Christians and drunks who are Christians, adulterers are Christians, fornicators are Christians. No shame. We're all Christians. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Idolaters? You think Roman Catholics are Christians? Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The point I'm making with regard to sanctification is this. If you are truly born again, right from the start, you will know that there's no such thing as, fill in the blank, Christian. You'll know that a man or a woman who's just living openly in iniquity is not a Christian, because the Spirit of God will testify to you. And I tell you today, if you actually believe that there is such a thing as, for instance, a sodomite Christian, then I question whether you're born again. And almost in passing, let me tell you another sign of regeneration as regards sanctification. I'm convinced that the spiritual man, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, will have a growing jealousy and concern for the sanctification of the whole ransomed church of Christ. Christ Jesus sent the Holy Spirit that he might, Christ might, by the Spirit, guard and guide and govern and sanctify and nourish his church, which he loves and for which he gave his life. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, the teacher, with the Father and with the Son, loves the church and is jealous for her purity and spiritual health. He teaches us to be likewise, and he warns us of spiritual danger. I'm saying, I believe if you're born again, you're going to have an increasing concern and jealousy for the spiritual well-being and the sanctification of the church. You're not going to ho-hum the things that are being done out there in the name of Christ. You'll have a concern, of course, for his honor and glory, and all of this filth and corruption and worldliness brought into the church. And when you see rebels running amok, and they won't submit to the preaching of the word, and they're stubborn with foreheads like flint, and they stiffen their neck repeatedly, you'll be concerned about the church. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, I've explained that text before. Of course, there's a certain context, but there's a more general application. It's speaking of those who have claimed Christ, who have said, yes, yes, I'm entered into that covenant of grace, I've been sanctified. He's claiming he was sanctified, and yet he treats as an unholy thing the Spirit of grace. That's not the way of one born again, I'm saying. Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ, speaking of the church. Paul was born again. Look at the zeal he had. And when he stirred up the Corinthians, those who were truly born again, it was obvious. Now, there was a situation in the church. You know the situation. They were letting things slide. Maybe some were intimidated or something, and they were just quiet when they shouldn't have been. And he rebuked them. And you know, when he rebuked them, he stirred up the grace of God in their hearts. And then what? In the true believers. The true believers were shown to be born again. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That's how those who are truly born again and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that's how they responded to what was going on in that church and that corruption. This is a sign of the new birth. This is a sign of the new birth. Have you been born again? Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I always think of 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Those who are born again will treat God as holy in their heart, with their mouth, with their lives, and with their concern for his church and its holiness and purity and spiritual welfare. Are you born again? Let me now especially direct this to those who have professed Christ for a good long time. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, that same Spirit is the Christian's infallible teacher who has shined the light of the gospel into our hearts. And that same Spirit of the Lord continues giving us ever-increasing light in spiritually discerning and understanding the Scriptures. The Scriptures increasingly unfold to the spiritual man, the regenerated man, the man born again. He notices increasingly things he never did before, and more so. He understands many things he never could have understood. The natural man discerneth not the things of the Spirit. There's an ongoing growth in wisdom, knowledge, and grace. When I see someone who can just with ease ignore things in the Scriptures that are plainly put to them, important things, compelling things, essential things, plainly put to them, and they can walk right past it and ignore it and not seem to understand it, or if they do understand it, at least they hear what they should do, but they just ignore it. I say, is this a natural man? Because that's not the way of the one born again. Are you born again? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow Christ by the Holy Spirit leading them through the reading of the Scriptures and giving prayerful attendance to the preaching of the Word of God. In Romans 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you're born again, the Word of God effectually works in your heart. You don't come and sit down and listen to a sermon and get up and say, well, now it's time for lunch. These things should have an effect on you. You should meditate on them. Paul said to the Thessalonians, who were under much persecution, unfortunately, sometimes that's what it takes, I guess, for Christians to get serious about the Word of God. But they were true Christians. They were born again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men. You did not just sit and listen to the Word preached as the apostles delivered it. Ministers today preach the Word they delivered. But you received it not as the Word of men, where you could just say, I don't know, I'll maybe think about that, I'm going to reject that, I'm not interested in that. No, no. But as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe, that are born again. If you're born again, the Word of God effectually works in you. You receive it as it is the Word of God. There's a reverence for it. There's a concern. What does this speak to me? What wouldst thou have me to do, Lord? How am I to be faithful to what's been preached to me? Remember 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3? Chapter 3, verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Those born again have a new heart, a new heart. It's warm, it's living. It receives the Word of God. If you're truly born again, even for just a little while, you should daily be growing in grace and knowledge and wisdom. You once were blind, but now you see. All Christians should be able to discern a growth of wisdom, discernment, understanding in them. And much more so as the time goes on. A growth, a maturing. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Is this you? When I was a child, I spake as a child. It's all of us. When we were spiritual children, we spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. That's the natural way. Unfortunately, many Christians, that's the spiritual way. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I get concerned when I see people who are just foolish, 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 and never change. Can I tell you the best thing that some people could do is just stop talking? Do themselves a favor and everyone around them, just be quiet. That's the best thing they could do. Be quiet and start learning and listening. Some people think they have to talk even when they have nothing to say. And then they say things that's worse than nothing. No, no. If you're born again, then grow in grace and wisdom. Become a man. Now examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. We've been talking about the evidence and the effects of regeneration. James 1 verse 18, as we've spoken of it already, it's a wonderful verse. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In Galatians 3 verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And that's a faith that worketh by love. Now, true faith produces good works. And this is my last point. True faith produces good works done for the Lord, and a desire to do good works, and a desire to bring forth good fruit for the Lord. These are evidences. This is the evidence, again, of regeneration. That passage in James chapter 2. James speaks of faith without works. He says, that's dead. He says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's in chapter 20 of verse 2. In chapter 2, verse 26, he says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James, in that chapter 2, compares true living faith with a false dead faith. The issue is not, listen carefully, the issue is not justification by faith. The issue is justification of faith. I'll explain what I mean. The issue is that the faith of a true Christian is shown to be true faith. And his profession of faith is shown to be a true profession of faith by the works the faith produces. A Christian has a testimony of faith in Christ, and then his life is evidence, it is evidence of his testimony, that it's true. In other words, his confession of faith is justified by his works. That's the meaning of this, for instance, in James 2, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Scripture interprets Scripture. You see then how that by works a man is justified. The man is justified in his profession of faith. He's shown to be a true Christian. His faith is shown to be a true, lively faith. The faith that justifies unto life. James 2, 21 through 23, was not Abraham our father justified by works? That is, Abraham's profession of faith in Christ was justified when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? Abraham's faith produced good works. And, it goes on, by works was faith made perfect. In other words, was shown to be true living faith, not corrupt, false, dead faith. And going on, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The scripture was fulfilled. Well, that means it was shown to be true concerning Abraham being accounted righteous by faith in the Christ he saw. He saw Christ day and was glad and rejoiced. He saw Christ from afar. In Genesis 15, there's the account. He's justified by faith. Over in Genesis 22, you see the scripture fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You see his faith justified by works. Now consider for a moment. Make application to yourself. The question is, are you born again? Well, if you're born again, if you're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, if God of his own will has begotten you to spiritual life, everlasting life with the word of truth, if you have this true faith in your heart, if you are the just that lives by faith, just think about your own life. Think about your own faith. Does your faith produce works? And consider for a moment that in James 2, we have these two examples, James chapter 2, Abraham and we have Rahab. Now think about the works their faith produced.
I mean, consider the specific work that is chronicled that Abraham did, and it's given as proof of his faith. And consider Rahab's faith and the work that is shown and told of, which justifies the testimony that Rahab was a true Christian. I mean, this is more than a simple change of lifestyle. This is more than sweet moralism. This is more than attending church on Sunday. This is more than even dressing a certain way, which we ought to dress in a godly way, of course. But I'm just saying, these are works. These are works, and by those works, they're justified. Their faith is shown to be true faith. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Are you born again? Well, then you'll produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Are you born again? Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You will produce fruit. You will want to glorify the Lord. And Jesus said that he is glorified if ye bear much fruit. So if you love him, you'll want to bear much fruit. You won't just say, I'm going to live a Christian lifestyle now. I'll have my Christian friends. We'll talk about Christian things sometimes. And we'll go to church and we'll be sweet moralists. Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you a doer of the word? James said, be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. It's time to draw this all to a close. The question I set before you was this: are you born again? It is a question of the utmost importance with eternal consequences. Are you born again? From the scriptures, I gave you many witnesses of the new birth. Now it's up to you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now it's not my intent to overwhelm or discourage a new believer. True faith is true faith, and the just shall live by faith. And true spiritual life is true spiritual life. If you're a new Christian, then your faith is in its infancy. The things that we've talked about, those evidences should be there. But don't judge yourself harshly. Just do be certain that the Holy Spirit has done that work of regeneration and does bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. John Bunyan, before he was born again, chanced upon three or four old ladies sitting in the sun in Bedford who were born again. Were born again. They were regenerated. Think about these ladies sitting in the sun there and talking. What were they talking about? Their talk was about a new birth. The work of God on their hearts, he says. Also how they were convinced of their miserable state by nature, the word, and also by just simply the things that they've done and their consciences. They talked how God had visited their souls with his love in the Lord Jesus, and with what words and promises they had been refreshed, comforted, and supported against the temptations of the devil. Moreover, they reasoned of the suggestions and temptations of Satan in particular, and told each other by which they had been afflicted, and how they were borne up under his assaults. And methought they spake as if joy did make them speak. Are you born again? Those ladies were born again. The work had been done in their hearts. A work of love producing joy. And behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Are you born again? May God grant that if you're not, you will be before the day is over.